Gilman and Company, 102.5, 106.3, The Game, streaming live on Twitter, Twitch, YouTube, and Facebook Live. We are live from the Busy Bee Plumbing, Heating, and Air Conditioning Game Nashville Studios. Rand Carthon talks tomorrow for the pre-draft press conference. Do we know? I need to look at the email. Is it just Carthon or is it Carthon and Callahan? I think it just says pre-availability, whatever. But again, the Titans will sit down with the media and they will say nothing revealing as every other team does for the most part, which is fine. But again, that's kind of where we'll get a little jazzed up and we'll try to read between the lines and we'll do all of that. But what I find to be fascinating is I've always told you guys, don't listen to what anybody says around this time of the year, but look at what they're doing. Listen to the actions more so than listening to the words. And so with that, I have a Titans draft hot take. I think the Titans are planning to draft Joe Alt with the 7th overall pick and everything else is a smokescreen. And I know you're going to say, well, Jared, everybody thinks that they're going to draft Joe Alt with the 7th pick. But I'm talking about what the Titans have done. Brian Callahan getting to the combine and saying this is a deep receiver draft and we want to draft a couple receivers in this year's draft. Smokescreen. The talk from TD about trading down. Smokescreen. Matt Miller, Charles Davis, both had the same kind of breakdown, which was if the Titans trade down or if Joe Walt's not there, it's okay because the Titans like Dalise Fuaga and Olu Fashanu. Smokescreen. The fact that the Titans didn't go to Joe Walt's pro day, I think, was a smokescreen. Remember, as far as the actual drills are concerned, they can watch that on tape, but more importantly, they already saw him do those things at the combine. It's not like Joe Alt didn't work out. Joe Alt worked out at the combine. They were at the combine. Joe Alt worked out great at the combine. So they know that it raises some eyebrows of probably people in the league. They don't care what I think. They don't care what you think, but they care about what the other teams in the league think, that it might raise some eyebrows that, man, I didn't see Rand Carthon there. I didn't see Brian Callahan there. I didn't see Bill Callahan there. I mean, I saw Brian Gardner there. And I don't know who from the Titans went to the Notre Dame Pro Day, but I saw that guy there. And I think that's a smokescreen. The talk about Fashanu, Fuaga, Latham, we've heard a lot of talk about him. I think that's a smokescreen. I think the Titans think they're going to draft Joe Alt on Thursday. I think they think they're going to use the 7th overall pick, and they are going to do it, and they don't want anybody to know that, and they want to throw everybody off to the scent of it because of what happened last year when they let the cat out of the bag with C.J. Stroud. And maybe, look, I don't think this is the case because this hasn't reportedly been the case, but maybe Houston would have taken C.J. Stroud number 2 overall no matter what. And maybe it was Mike Vrabel that did all the talking since all the C.J. Stroud stuff came from Diana Russini. And, well, you make the connection yourself. We've made it for you plenty of times, and Vrabel's not here anymore. But I think the Titans probably look at even the idea that they want Joe Alt, and they kind of want to throw everybody off to it. This way, by not talking about Alt at all, you're leaving nothing to chance. Because even though I don't think it makes any sense for the Jets, for instance, at 10, or even really the Bears at 9, to move all the way to 6 or move all the way to 5 in order to draft a left tackle, I do think the Titans just figure, well, it's not going to do us any good if people think we want this kid. So let's not give anybody any reason to think we want the kid other than the fact that we didn't do anything at tackle in free agency. We have a glaring need for tackle. And, well, we used a top 30 visit on him. And I think, again, the top 30 visit, if they had the choice to not use the top 30 visit, I think they would have made that choice. But I think they looked at it like, hey, we're going to throw enough people off by not going to the combine, and we already got drug a little bit for having to, or excuse me, the pro day. We're already getting drug a little bit because we left the combine early in order to, you know, be at the groundbreaking of the new stadium, which was the day we were interviewing the offensive line candidates. And so instead of zooming with him, like, let's bring him in, let's get him around Bill Callahan, a.k.a.
Big Coach.
Around Big Coach, and let's just, you know, we, at some point, as much as we want to throw everybody off, we got to dot the I's and cross the T's. And so, again, I don't have any inside info on this. I don't have any, you know, there's no scoop, there's no smoke that I'm hearing or anything. I'm just convinced that the Titans this year, they learned their lesson last year. They fell in love with somebody. They wanted to make a move. Somebody ran their mouths. Now, it could have been Arizona. But again, considering that it was Diana Russini, it was probably you. Somebody ran their mouths last year, and it ended up with the Houston Texans getting the player that you wanted. So, I got to believe that as far as the Titans are concerned, I think they want Alton. They're just not telling anybody. And they're going to try to do everything in their power to make you think that they don't want Joe Alton. Because they're sitting there right now saying, well, quarterbacks have to go with the first three picks. Arizona has two tackles. The Chargers have two tackles. The Giants have three tackles. And so none of the teams in front of us look like they're going to take Joe Alton. But we don't want anybody to get an idea of, oh, well, we really got to jump the Titans. So what do? We convince them, actually, we're kind of looking to jump. We're looking to move back. Because they really want to stick at 7 and pick him. Now, that doesn't mean that, you know, that's the only thing that they want to do. You know, crazy things happen in these drafts. And if Caleb Williams is available, now that changes the conversation. But as it stands now, where it is likely that when the Titans will be picking, Caleb Williams, Marvin Harrison Jr., Malik Nabers, Drake May, Jaden Daniels will all be off the board before the 7th pick. I think they're taking Joe Alton, and they just don't want anybody to know it. And I'll give them credit if that's in fact what happens, because it will show that they learned from their mistakes last year. And whether their mistake last year was Vrabel running his mouth and so they fired him, or whether it was Ran or whoever that, you know, again, let the cat out of the bag, well, they learn from their mistake if they don't do it this year. Because we hear little tidbits here and there, but we haven't really heard a whole lot. And anything I think we have heard, again, I think that might just be a little smokescreen. 615-737-1025 is our phone number if you want to weigh in. 615-737-1025. We have a new feature that we are unveiling on the program for the first time ever. We're going to do it all this week. And this will be the first time that we do this. Ian knows what I'm talking about. You all don't. But Ian, are you excited?
Very.
Okay. We will do that next. Let's talk about the Tennessee Men's Clinic. You've put this off for way too long, and it's time to get it done and move forward with your sex life. And the Tennessee Men's Clinic is the leader in bedroom confidence. The reality is that pills often quit working and guys start making excuses for why they're not coming to bed. Did you know that studies show that men will be more irritable and argumentative before bed just to avoid failing at intimacy? And yes, I know many of you hate going to the doctor, but the Tennessee Men's Clinic was created in 2014 to take care of guys just like you. For a decade, the urologists and providers at the Tennessee Men's Clinic have helped guys with ED and weight loss, and they even offer aesthetic enhancements and cosmetic procedures as well. Their ED weight loss treatments truly change lives, and with no surgery, they're seeing success rates as high as 90%. They specialize in seeing guys who think they're out of luck regain hope that they can be successful in the bedroom and beyond. They even offer same or next day appointments. So call 615-208-9090 to schedule an appointment today. That's 615-208-9090, or go to TennesseeMen'sClinic.com to book an appointment. That's TennesseeMen'sClinic.com.
Here's the number one do. Make all the decisions before draft day. Now, technically, that's going to be impossible, but you want to go through and decide, have all of your mock drafts drawn up, have your top 150 all aligned the way you want. So if there's a dispute as to who's a better player between John Jones and Bill Smith, you can look up there on your board and see how you've rated them, and you stick with that. But anything about possible trades, about possible cuts, about anything along those lines, you want those decisions made prior to draft day, so that when you go in there, all you're going to worry about are the new things that are going to pop up, and there will be a bunch of those.
Okay, that's the old man. May he rest in peace, and these are the days that suck the most without him. But, as he said, all the decisions have to be made before draft day. Now, as he said, you can't necessarily do all that, but all these little conversations, like last week when we talked about Drake May and Will Levis and Brock Bowers, and it's like, we got to have the conversation now. I mean, we talked about, hey, if Drake May falls to 7, what do you do? And everybody was like, well, this is so stupid. He's not going to do that. I mean, Will Levis went in the 2nd round last year, and nobody thought that was going to happen. So, with that, we are introducing a new feature, the Pro Football Focus Mock Draft Simulator. We are using the official Titans simulations on the Stillman & Company program. So here's what we're going to do. All throughout the rest of this week, we are going to run draft simulations in which we put the Titans on the clock at 7:38. And again, what trades are available, what trades aren't available. Again, all of that we're going to go through, and we're going to say, okay, in this situation, for instance, Johnny's off the board, but Jimmy is available at 7. Do you take Jimmy? Do you trade out? Who wants to trade for the pick? What will they be willing to trade for the pick? So on and so forth. And then you guys decide if we made the right call or not. So let's start with the first Stillman & Company mock draft simulation.
It's time for a random Jared Stillman mock draft simulation, courtesy of the Pro Football Focus mock draft simulator.
Okay, let's start this situation right now. Titans have the 7th pick. The first pick in the first mock draft simulation is done by Pro Football Focus. And again, they control all the other teams. I control the Titans. The first pick in the number one mock draft simulation with Chicago is Caleb Williams, number 2. Drake May, number 3. Malik Nabers to the Patriots. We didn't see that one coming. Who's shocked? Number 4. Roma Dunze to the Arizona Cardinals. Who thought Arizona had Roma Dunze on their board ahead of Marvin Harrison? Not me. But again, I haven't seen Arizona's board. Number 5. Joe Alt to the Chargers. The one thing that I guaranteed wouldn't happen in this mock draft, it happened. Number 6, the Giants. Jaden Daniels out of LSU is the quarterback of the future, which means the Titans are on the clock at 7. And at 7, the elite players that are available to me are Marvin Harrison Jr., Brock Bowers, and Dallas Turner. Again, I've called them the Elite 8. If you want to include Adunze to make it 9, that's fine. But in this case, Adunze's gone. Harrison, Bowers, and Turner. Chicago, Denver, New Orleans, Indy, Seattle, Cincinnati, the Rams, and Pittsburgh all want to trade. You know, normally there's about 2 teams in these things that want to trade. In this case, everybody wants to trade with me at 7. Probably because everybody wants Marvin Harrison Jr. So now here's the question. What is Marvin Harrison worth to you? So, for instance, let's take Chicago at 9. I wanted to see, would Chicago give me the 9th pick, so I'm still going to get one of Harrison, Bowers, or Turner? Will Chicago give me the 9th pick and their first rounder next year? They said no. So then, if I wanted to do a deal with Chicago, I could get 9, Carolina's 2nd next year, which they own, and 75, and that gives me a 23% chance of Chicago accepting it. Well, I just don't think that's good enough value. as far as Marvin Harrison Jr. is concerned. So, no, Chicago, you don't get it. Let's go to Denver at 12. Who wants to offer? If I ask Denver at 12, who, by the way, shockingly acquired Zach Wilson today, if I ask Denver for 12 and their 2025 first rounder, then I've got a 20% chance, according to Pro Football Focus, of them accepting that trade. In order for me to trade Marvin Harrison Jr. to Denver, I'd need 12, I'd need 76, I'd need their first next year, and I'd need their third. And they won't do that. So, with that being said, the pick is in at 7 for our first simulation. Marvin Harrison Jr. out of Ohio State. And I got to say this. Even though they have the need on the offensive line and everything else, even though they have that need, I don't think we can complain if they end up with Marvin Harrison Jr. on Thursday night. I don't think they're going to end up with him, but again, who knows? That's the point of this. So Marvin Harrison goes to the Titans at 7. So as the mock draft plays out, there is a run on tackles to where I get to 29 with Detroit. And I think about a trade. According to Pro Football Focus, if I offer 38 and 104, which is in the fourth round, or excuse me, 106, which is in the fourth round, for 29 and 164, which is in the fifth round, it gives me a 65% chance of Detroit wanting to make a deal. At this point, the tackles still available on the board, Jordan Morgan, Tyler Guyton, Patrick Paul, Kingsley Suamataya, and Roger Rosengarten are on the board here if I were to make this trade. But I think it might be a little high for Paul, Suamataya, or Rosengarten. Morgan and Guyton, those guys are probably both available. So at that point, I'm like, okay, I've got Marvin Harrison Jr. Do I make the trade up and move from the fourth to the fifth round, or do I keep my pick and try to take a tackle at 38? Or do I see what's available as far as 38 would be concerned? Now, this was the first mock draft simulation I did. And if I could do it again, I probably would trade up to 29 to take a tackle. But I didn't. And so I wait till 38. And at 31, Jordan Morgan goes off the board to San Francisco. And at 36, Tyler Guyton goes off the board to Washington. Ugh! And let's not forget, if I make that trade, I get that fifth-year option. So I'm getting an extra contractual year, and all I'm doing is moving from the fourth to the fifth round. In hindsight, I probably should have made that trade. So now I'm on the board at 38. Here's who's available. Keon Coleman is available. Jatavion Sanders, the tight end out of Texas, is available. Chris Braswell, the edge rusher out of Alabama, is available. And Darius Robinson is available, the edge rusher out of Missouri. So do I take one of those players, or do I try to make a trade? Vegas wants a trade, and New Orleans wants a trade. Vegas is at 44. New Orleans is at 45. Well, I don't have a need to take Keon Coleman because I just took Marvin Harrison Jr. And again, one of those first-round-ish tackles are not available. Keon Coleman is not a tackle. Sanders is not a tackle. Braswell is not a tackle. Robinson is not a tackle. And Guyton and Morgan are gone. Vegas wants 38 and Burks for 44, 77 in the third, and 112 in the fourth. That's a 26% chance. If I ask instead of 112 for next year's fourth, it goes up to 38. New Orleans, meanwhile, really wants to do 38 and Burks for 45 and 25's third-round pick. But that's certainly not good enough. So I look and say, okay, well, let's see. Burks and 38 for 45, 150, 120, and next year's third round pick. Only a 90% chance of that. And again, what am I really getting? So here's the deal I think I'd be willing to make. Offering Vegas 38 and Burks for 44. So I'm moving down a couple of slots in the third round, or excuse me, in the second round. 77, so I am picking up a third that I don't have this year, and 112, so I'm picking up a fourth to add to the fourth I already have. Vegas declines the trade. So now I turn to New Orleans. 38 in Burks. And again, I can trade Burks now because I just drafted Marvin Harrison Jr. 38 in Burks for 45, 150, next year's third, and next year's fourth. So that would replace the third that I lost in the Snead trade, and it would give me an extra fourth in next year's draft. I accept it thinking, you know, I don't love any of these players on the board at 38, maybe Darius Robinson, so I can move down to 44, and I can go ahead and I can make the trade. So I make the trade. So now I've picked up 45, 150, 2025's third rounder, and 2024's fourth rounder. Then Green Bay at 44 wants to trade. Now, I'm nervous about this. Kasua Mataia is still on the board. I'm at 44, and I need a tackle. But Green Bay is willing to offer me, Green Bay wants 44 for 41 for me to move up, for 41 plus 58. And all I have to give them is 44, 106, 150, and the third and the fourth that I just acquired from New Orleans. So I do it. So now I have two second-round picks. I've got 41 and 58. I'm on the board at Tennessee, on the clock, at 41. And the pick's in. Jatavion Sanders, the tight end out of Texas at this point, is the highest player on the board, and so I take him. Now, we haven't talked a lot about Jatavion Sanders, and a lot of people are convinced that Chig is a starting tight end. I am not. But in this case, Chig stays tight end one, and Sanders, who I took in the second round, is probably, by midseason, I'd like him to overtake Chig, and I would like him to be the long-term solution. But I still have the 58th pick, and Kingsley Suamataia is on the board. So can I get from 41 to 58 and still get that player? The answer ends up being no. Suamataia goes with the 53rd pick, which puts me on the clock at 58, and now I have to take a tackle. And at 58, I draft Blake Fisher out of Notre Dame, who's on the opposite side of Joe Alt. Certainly does not have the resume of the other guys we've talked about. And here I am right now, having run through this exercise, kicking myself that I didn't just trade up with Detroit to get Jordan Morgan or Tyler Guyton. All in all, I drafted Harrison at 7. Then I traded 38 and Burks for 45, 150, and a 2025 third and a 25 fourth. Then I traded 45, which I got in that trade, plus 106 in the fourth round, plus 150 and those two next year picks to Green Bay in order to get two second rounders, 41 and 58. And at 41, I ended up with Jatavion Sanders. And at 58, I ended up with Blake Fisher. And now, by the way, I have to sign Andres Pete to play left tackle. But that is our first mock draft simulation. As far as the value is concerned, the Titans came into the day with a draft value of $21.56. The value that I acquired in the deals was $23.64, which is a difference of $208, which equals the 76th pick in the third, the 76th pick in the draft, which is the third rounder. So I added a third rounder in value to the draft. But I don't love the players I got outside of Marvin Jr. In fact, I think I would have rather made the trade and not taken two players in the second round in order to move up into the first round and draft one of the tackles. So that's the first Pro Football Focus mock draft simulation we have. Again, what do you do if Marvin Harrison Jr. is there? Do you take him? Look, if Chicago's not going to give me next year's one to move from 9, I'd just rather have Marvin Harrison Jr. And that was the decision I made. We'll react to that and the Joe Alt stuff and everything else. Throw it on the board. 615-737-1025. If you want to weigh in, that's 615-737-1025. Stillman & Company, 1025, 1063 The Game.
Why is it that after the draft, everybody that has a press conference gets up and says the same thing, which is,
We didn't think this player would be there at that point in the draft. We feel like we had a great draft. We were surprised that our third rounder was there. And everybody says the same thing. And the truth is that most of these guys are telling the truth. That is, they're really excited about their second round pick because he was one of those guys we just talked about who was a first round graded player that was there in the second round that you were able to get. So you're thrilled to death. If the same thing happens in the fourth or the fifth round, again, you're thrilled to death. People often are amazed at how these guys will get on and say, you know, how good they feel about their draft. And I always kind of compared it to a marriage. You know, day or two after a marriage, if you don't think it was a great marriage, then you probably really messed up.
There you go. That was the old man saying, look, every GM says they love their draft because they do love their drafts. That being said, through the first Pro Football Focus mock draft simulation we did, and I end up with Marvin Harrison Jr. at 7, and I traded back, and then traded up, and then stayed at 41 and 58, and I ended up with Jatavion Sanders, the tight end out of Texas at 41, and Blake Fisher, the tackle out of Notre Dame at 58. I don't necessarily love this mock draft, even though I created value for the Titans. I don't necessarily like it. I felt compelled to take Marvin Jr. at 7 when Chicago at 9 was not willing to do 9 plus their first next year. And Denver at 12, again, if I asked for their first next year, it says that I would have only had a 20% chance of them accepting the trade. And truthfully, I'd need, if I really was going to trade Marvin Jr., I think I'd need 1276, which replaces my third rounder, next year's first, and next year's third, which also replaces my third rounder. One texter says that at 38, I should have taken Darius Robinson. I thought about it. The texter then says, I love the Jatavion Sanders pick. Should be great, but I hate the Blake Fisher pick. Again, I don't know enough about those guys. I'm just kind of operating off of the board with which was kind of in front of me because I don't know these second-round players like that. Like, yeah, talk to TD about these second-round players. He knows them better than I do. That being said, the fact that it is more likely than not, 65% chance according to Pro Football Focus, that Detroit at 29 would have accepted 38 and my fourth-round pick for 29 and their fifth-round pick with two first-round tackles, Morgan and Guyton, on the board, I regret that. I should have drafted Marvin Harrison Jr., and I should have offered the trade to Detroit at 29 and drafted Jordan Morgan, the left tackle out of Arizona, with the 31st pick, even if Jordan Morgan is not ready to play right away. And the thing I think I learned, I did four of these yesterday. We'll do these all throughout the week, you know, these different simulations saying, hey, you know, what do you do in this situation? The last one I did last night was freaking crazy, by the way. But we will do these. Like, what was available to the Titans at 7 was crazy. But what I think I'm learning with this through having done four last night is, yes, it is fun to get more picks and to look at the value and say, okay, well, and this one, you know, you ended up with a difference of value of what is equal to the 46th pick, which is adding a second rounder to your draft class. But do you like the players? Because there's one draft where I think I did pretty well value-wise, but I really, really like the players I ended up with. Whereas that draft, yes, I like Marvin Harrison Jr., but I don't necessarily love the other two players that I ended up with, even though, again, I don't know all that much about them. One texter said that was a badass segment, way to do something different than the rest. Well, I'd like to think that we do a lot of things different than the rest. Again, this is kind of a one-person show, and I think most everything else is not a one-person show. But, I mean, quite frankly, I was doing these for fun, and I'm like, well, we're going to sit here and talk about, well, if this happens, should they do this? If this happens, should they do that? Well, they're doing, inside these facilities, they're doing this. Now, they're not using the Pro Football Focus mock draft simulator kind of thing, but they've got somebody who is, you know, hey, you're picking for Chicago. You're picking for Washington. You're picking for New England. You're picking for Green Bay. You're picking for the Jets. And so then they kind of go through it and say, okay, now we're in this situation. What do we do? And that's what I wanted to put myself in. I don't think Joe Alt's going to go with the fifth pick, as this mock draft simulation says he will. I mean, I don't think Neighbors and Adunze are going before Marvin. But we don't know. That's the whole point of Thursday, so that when the Titans get on the clock on Thursday, they will know, hey, if Marvin Jr. is there, I don't think Marvin Jr. will be there. Ian, I assume you don't think Marvin Jr. will be there?
Doubtful.
But if Marvin Jr. is there, what will it take for us to move off that pick? Those are the discussions they're having. For me, with Chicago, I did not want to do 9 plus Carolina second next year plus 75. It would have got me back into the third round, and it would have picked me up a second next year, and I like it. But I would have been giving away Marvin Harrison, and I would have ended up with Dallas Turner. And while I like Dallas Turner, I think there is a difference in talent between Marvin Jr. and Dallas Turner. So at that point, I'm taking Marvin Jr. Jacob says, Blake Fisher has so much talent. He was overshadowed by Joe Alt, and he can play left tackle, and he came out as a higher prospect to Notre Dame as well. I'll have to take your word on it. Again, I haven't watched the tape of Blake Fisher, but I'll take your word on it. Somebody said Fisher's a late third rounder or early fourth rounder, not a second rounder. So the Pro Football Focus draft board is way different than like the what they call the public draft board, the consensus draft board. The PFF draft board has Jaden Daniels at 21, which I'm like, whoa now. Now, if Jaden Daniels sucks, like Zach Wilson, then we'll say, yep, they got it right. But, I mean, I watched Jaden Daniels play enough in college to think that Jaden Daniels is not, he is not the 21st best player in this draft. That being said, the other thing I learned from kind of this exercise is if you want Marvin Harrison or you want Joe Alt from me, you have to buy him. Like, you have to buy him from me. You have to make me do this deal. The same way that Houston made Arizona, they bought Will Anderson, which means you have to overpay. Now, if I'm on the board at 7 and it's McCarthy, Bowers, Turner, and Adunze, the price will be lowered than if I'm on the clock and it's Alt or Harrison or Neighbors, for instance. More of your phone, 615-737-1025 here on our program, 615-737-1025. Plus, as far as the trading is concerned, I have a question for everybody. Like, if the Titans are on the clock and they're trying to make a trade and you're deciding what is it that you all want? We'll do that next here on Stillman & Company, 615-737-1025, 1025, 1063 the game.
I think this team wants to trade back. Like, I think that's the first thing that they want to do. That's what I believe. Now, if they could trade back 10, 11, and still get Alt, hey, the world is a wonderful place. And everybody's playing Louis Armstrong music, right? But if they move back, I think, you know, J.C. Latham also comes into the mix. But you said if Alt is gone. So
right.
Ideally what they want to do, I think, is trade back regardless.
I don't want the trade back tackles. I don't want Latham, Fuaga, Fashanu. I don't want those guys. I want Joe Alt. Now, there is one team that we haven't talked a lot about when it comes to a potential Joe Alt trade or a Joe Alt, you know, a team that could get in there. So, Diana Russini reported about an hour before we came on the air today that apparently the New England Patriots are listening and taking calls from teams that are looking to move into three. While Elliot Wolf is running point, I'm told Patriots president Jonathan Kraft is heavily involved in the decision-making. Now, what that is that right there is they're telling people that they don't like Drake May. That's what they're saying. They're saying, if you want Drake May or Jaden Daniels, call us. And I think that that's a message for the Giants, and I think that's a message for whomever. Because again, there's probably only one team that can tell Diana that the Patriots are talking to multiple teams for the number three pick. Ian, can you guess what team that probably is that's telling Diana the Patriots are listening about trading back to multiple teams?
Maybe the Patriots.
It's probably the Patriots. So the Patriots are telling Diana, we're interested in talking. And the Patriots are probably telling Diana that Jonathan Kraft is involved. Why? Because this is a move for another owner. That's why. Nobody wants you to think the owner's involved. But in this case, by saying the owner's involved, that then convinces the Maras, hey, at six, you've got Daniel Jones. If you can move up to three to be able to take Drake May, is that going to convince the Maras to pick up the phone? As opposed to the general manager? And let's not forget some of these teams. You know, the Giants are an example where they gave the quarterback $100 million last offseason. And a lot of these former GMs that are on the radio or that are doing shows and podcasts and things, they're saying, like, if I was Brian Daboll and I was Joe Shane, I would not be interested in trading, you know, in taking a quarterback with the sixth pick because I won't get the chance to develop the guy. And what I'd like to do is I like to get Malik Nabers or Marvin Harrison and stick him at wide receiver and see if the guy I gave $100 million to can win, because if I'm punting on a guy I gave $100 million to last year, I'm probably going to get fired. But if the owner knows to talk to the owner, now you've gone above the GM's head. And if that's the case, I would not rule out the Patriots as a potential landing spot for Joe Alt, because they don't have a left tackle either. They could go wide receiver, left tackle, or quarterback. If the Patriots trade out, I could see the Patriots using 34 and a pick next year to get back into the first round to take Michael Penix or to take Bo Nix or somebody like that, moving back to six because they don't really love Drake May or they don't really love J.J. McCarthy or they don't really love Jaden Daniels. And taking Alt. And we never talk about the Patriots. As far as Alt's concerned, they do not have a left tackle. So keep that in mind as much as we talk about Joe Alt. One texter says, it is absurd, Jared, that you think the Texans made the choice of their franchise quarterback based on information of who the Titans wanted. It remains the dumbest take on Nashville Sports Talk Radio. Well, that's great, except for the fact that it is reported that that is what happened. Charles Robinson, who lives in Houston, Yahoo Sports senior insider, he's plugged into the league, goes on Robbie and Joe every week. Charles Robinson on Robbie and Joe after the draft in which the cat got out of the bag that the Titans wanted C.J. Stroud, and he said the Texans changed their thinking.
The ideology between what player you selected first was based on who Arizona wanted. They knew Arizona had a super high grade on Will Anderson, so if they passed Will Anderson at two and Arizona decides, we don't like either offer, now we're taking your guy. They figured that's less likely to happen if we just take Stroud off the board at two, and now Tennessee goes, well, that's our guy. We're not staying in this now. When they kind of went on the clock, they're like, we got to pick the quarterback at two because we have no clue what ultimately Tennessee offered. We have to just take Tennessee out of the running, so we just take the quarterback at two. If Arizona says, screw it, we're not taking your offer, then we're going to lose Will Anderson, and that stinks. But we're definitely not getting sniped on the quarterback by getting cute and trying to take the defensive player first.
Okay, so he said they thought Arizona was going to take Anderson, so what they were going to do is they were going to take Anderson. And then when they found out Tennessee was going to trade for Stroud, they decided, okay, now we can't screw around, let's take Stroud, and if we lose Anderson, we lose him. That's what happened. And you can act like that's not what happened, Paul, but that is, in fact, what is being reported. Unless you think Charles Robinson's a liar. And that's your, you know, if you want to say that, that's on you. One texter says, how worried will you be if the Titans end up with an offensive lineman other than Joe Alt in the first round? Do we have any prior data or history that should make us trust Rand Carthon and Chad Brinker with offensive line evaluations? The answer, by the way, to that is no, we do not. Obviously, we know about the guard situation from last year, but I'm more worried about the recent and often replayed quote from Rand Carthon talking about Bill Callahan as big coach. In that clip, Rand mentioned leaving a routine player profile tape meeting with his mind blown. Is that alone not a massive red flag? What could big coach have possibly said in a mundane meeting to blow the mind of an active NFL general manager? How can you be confident in your GM when he makes a comment like that when you're in the middle of such a pivotal rebuild on the offensive line? I was extremely alarmed when I heard him say that, and I have been uneasy ever since. If we do not end up with Joe Alt, I am worried we're going to be in for a Chad Brinker special where we reach on a pick, get bashed by the national media, then get a podcast appearance from Brinker where he condescendingly calls us fans stupid while preaching analytics. Boy, that's a freaking take right there. Let me say this. I think a lot of the things Rand says, it's just kind of like, you know, I'm trying to think of the right way to say this. I think Rand's just always trying to pump sunshine. So when he talks about how, like, our minds were blown from Bill Callahan, it's like he probably wasn't completely shocked by what he saw. Right? I think you're taking that a little too seriously. I think Rand is a presenter. You know, like when I saw the podcast, the speaker series with Mike Keith and Rand and Brian Callahan, you know, Rand was doing all the storytelling and letting everybody in on the inside scoop and everything else. And Callahan was just kind of sitting over there just being like very matter of fact. And I think that that's kind of the difference in their personalities. So I was not alarmed by that comment from Rand as much as I do get alarmed by things that the Titans do. And, man, I don't know if we'll get a podcast appearance from Brinker, but I bet we'll get better than we got last year on that Friday night when Rand told the fans to be positive. I bet we'll get better than that. 615-737-1025 is our phone number, 615-737-1025. There is plenty of optimism to go around for the Nashville Predators after they lost game one last night because, again, all you got to do is take one game in Vancouver. But there is something about last night's game that really, really, really bothered me. And I think it's going to make a lot of people uncomfortable, but it's the conversation that has to be had. And we'll do that now. 615-737-1025, Stillman & Company. You know what? I'm in a good mood. Let's give something away while we're at it. Be caller 5 at 615-737-1025, and you'll win a pair of tickets to see Neil Young and Crazy Horse at the First Bank Amphitheater on Wednesday, May 8th.